Welcome to All Sides with Anna Staver. It's our fall membership drive. More on that in just a moment. Who doesn't love a good ghost story? The kind of tale that sends shivers down your spine and instinctively makes you check over your shoulder, just to be sure. Stories of the supernatural spark our imagination, encouraging us to question what lies beyond our understanding. They tap into our curiosity about life, death, and everything in between. And Bucky Cutright knows where all the ghosts are located in Columbus. He's the co-owner of Columbus Ghost Tours and the author of Haunted Cemeteries of Ohio. Bucky, welcome to All Sides.
Hi, Anna. Thanks for having me.
Ghost stories are as old as humanity itself. Why do you think our fascination with the supernatural endures?
Well, ghost stories, they check a lot of boxes. Aside from thrilling and chilling, there's also, the window into history that they provide. And in addition to that, they serve as a little bit of a moral compass as well. Some of the earliest ghost stories in written human history from ancient Babylonia, the Giddim, which are spirits of people who come back and haunt you and hurt you and make you sick if you don't properly respect their graves. So, that's sort of a moral compass. And then there's also the idea of, people who have done something horrible and their spirits trapped on repeat doing these sort of things. So, there's that.
It's that uncertainty about what happens next.
Yeah. The uncertainty about what happens next. And also don't mistreat others or maybe you'll get stuck, for eternity, repeating these terrible actions, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So as someone who makes a living sharing supernatural stories, mm-hmm. did you always have an interest? Like growing up, were you always drawn to the macabre?
Absolutely. I was. Yeah. When I was very young, probably around 4 years old, I learned that my father was a carpenter, and that meant he made things. And the first thing I asked him to do when I understood what that meant was to make a bunch of tombstones so we could have a cemetery in our front yard.
Not every 4 year old wants a cemetery in his front yard.
Yeah, who doesn't, right? I found a drawing I made when I was four or five years old, of the Amityville Horror House.
Oh my goodness.
I was 5 years old. It was the same year it came out. And I was like, okay, I've always been this way.
Yeah, I came to it via like fantasy and supernatural and like science fiction. Mm-hmm. So my mom was reading Anne Rice when it was like really popular and I was in high school. And I picked up Interview with a Vampire and just never looked back.
Yeah. That was a great gateway book, a bit of literature for horror fans. And
I'm a big horror reader. I always joke there's some correlation between my interest in horror and my interest in politics.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can. They're not too far removed from one another, are they?
Yeah, so I gotta ask the big question first, though. Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah, well, I've had experiences throughout my life, but quite honestly, when I started doing the ghost tours, I did so with the intention of introducing people to local businesses and local history and do it through the medium.
You started
of,
with tavern tours.
Yeah. And the idea was, Columbus is a transitory town. I think a lot of people come here, they attend OSU or they get a job to pad their resume and they move on. And it's important for people to... in order for them to have respect for the place where they're living, they need to know a bit of the history. So I thought ghost tours would be a great way to introduce people to do that. And who doesn't like to go pop from bar to bar to bar and learn these ghost stories? So, I began it like that. But it didn't take very long after conducting these tours that I found that these things happen. People have these experiences. I can't say what a ghost is. That's... not my place, but I've had things happen personally while I've been in the middle of telling stories on tours, and I've just talked to too many people there. They've had legitimate experiences. Yeah.
Do you ever think that maybe when you open yourself up to the possibility of the supernatural, like when you go down that path, whether it's your mind creating the situation to confirm your beliefs, or maybe it just makes encounters more likely?
You know, I...
Because I tell myself both, right? Like, I'm like, maybe my brain is just creating this. And then on the other side, I'm like, well, maybe you're just more open to the idea that it's here.
Yeah. If you kind of allow that possibility, you know, that can make you perceive things a little bit differently. You know, when I started doing these, I heard that oftentimes when you start focusing on the paranormal, you start to draw these things towards you and have experiences. And I really honestly didn't think that would be a thing, but it really did start happening for me. Shortly after I began doing the tours, I would have these strange occurrences in my house, and whether it was just me, but something that I would normally just be like, oh, well, that's odd. But then through the lens of the paranormal, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe someone's here with me. Yeah, so yeah, it's kind of a two-sided coin, and hard to really say which, you know.
And speaking of those ghost tours, you're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is our fall membership drive. Remember, listener support pays for all the programs you enjoy. Please make a gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. For a membership of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you're going to get a very spooky offer for this hour only. Two tickets, not one, two tickets to a WOSU Public Media exclusive haunted tour of Greenlawn Cemetery with Bucky. You're invited on this ghostly tour on Monday, October 28th at 6 p.m., just in time for Halloween, just as the sun is setting. You and your guest are going to take a twilight walk through the oldest sections of the cemetery, hear stories about those who are buried there, and maybe stories about those who are still wandering about. And the tour is going to be led by on-site historian Matt Wolf, along with Bucky Cutright, our guest today. And historian Doreen Uhouse-Sauer will be there, too. They're going to take you all around the cemetery. We're going to hear some great ghost stories. And then we're going to have a reception at Greenlawn Abbey. It's going to be refreshments and a hauntingly good time. Who knows? Maybe someone will have an experience of their own while out on the tour. So don't miss it. Get two tickets for $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. Get your tickets right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. It's going to be a great evening with other WOSU members and myself and Bucky. Mm-hmm. And we have a limited number of tickets for this tour. He can only lead so many people around a cemetery. So once they're gone, they're gone. So make a gift now and secure your tickets. You're also going to be supporting local news and this show. Your sustaining membership is so powerful. Listener support pays for all the programs that you love. We're a public service station, and we serve you, our listeners. So become a member now and get tickets for this exclusive event, the Haunted Tour of Greenlawn Cemetery. It's $15 a month at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Bucky, there is a story that I didn't know about Columbus, and I've heard you tell it, and it's the Mooney Mansion in Clintonville.
Yeah.
I'd love to share it with everyone.
Yeah, so, the story goes, there's Walhalla Ravine, which, for those that aren't familiar, it's quite unique for Columbus. It's a road that twists and turns and follows the contours of the creek that carved it out thousands of years ago, and it's not one of those flat, straight streets that 90 degree angle intersections that we're used to. And as you're traveling down Walhalla Ravine, it's just a little north of Studio 35 on Indianola, you turn left. And as you go towards High Street, right before you get to the Calumet Street Bridge, if you look to the left, you'll see this set of stone steps that wind their way up the side of the ravine that lead to a big white mansion that gives off a very hardcore Amityville horror vibe. It really, really does. And it's called Mooney Mansion. And the legend is that there was a Dr. Mooney who lived there in the 1920s. And one night he went mad, quite mad. And he took an axe and he chopped his family up and then committed suicide. That's one version of the story. And it's said that you can see the doctor kicking his wife's severed head down the steps into the ravine with his axe in hand on certain moonlit nights.
Oh, my goodness.
There's another legend that there was a statue of the wife in the grounds of the mansion. And if you're there on the anniversary of the murder, it'll bleed where she was hacked. And another version of the story is that he hung the family from the Calumet Street Bridge. And some say that you can look in the creek and you'll see the reflection of the bridge and the family members hanging from it. But if you look up, they're not there. They only appear in the reflection of the water. The house, there's a blue light that's said to emanate from the window where he committed suicide in the other version. And all these stories are great fun. And Walhalla Ravine, it's a nuisance for all the neighbors, the residents of Walhalla Ravine every Halloween, because they're just lines of cars of people going through. And the story is not true whatsoever. There was Dr. Mooney who did build the mansion for his family in 1913, but he was a ear, nose, and throat doctor from Waverly, Ohio, and he died in his 80s in the 1940s. His wife followed suit several years later in her 80s, and the last surviving member of the Mooney family was died in a nursing home in Westerville in 2012. So, yeah, there really isn't any truth to that, but there is a...
There's a true story of a local guy gone mad.
Yes, there is. There is actually, yeah. There's what I believe is the source for this legend occurred on East Norwich Avenue and campus, just 1 mile south as a crow flies from the Mooney Mansion. And it was a guy named Forrest Bigelow, his wife Lena, and their 7-year-old daughter Annabelle, who Forrest and Lena's relationship was troubled because mostly her mother, Sally Cruitt, was a horrible nag, and she would she would always be at the house telling Forrest, you know, he's a loser, he needs to go away so Lena can find a real man to raise her child and make her happy. Yeah. And they actually separated for a brief period over this, but then in 1918 they got back together and gave it another go. But shortly after Valentine's Day, apparently Forrest couldn't take it any longer. He was an insurance agent. He went into his coworker's office on February 18th, 1918, and said, "Hey, I'm taking my family on a vacation. Here's a list of my clients. Can you look after them?" And his coworker said, "Sure. You know,
why not?
Send me a postcard, bring me a seashell, that sort of thing." And Forrest went home that night, and he didn't take his family on a vacation. Instead, he had dinner with his wife, Lena, and his daughter, Annabelle. And afterwards, they tucked little Annabelle into bed, wished her sweet dreams, kissed her on the cheek. And then Lena said she was kind of getting a headache and she was tired. She was going to turn in herself. He told her he loved her. He kissed her. She went down the hall to the master bedroom. And then after that, Forrest went downstairs into the basement and he took an axe off the wall and he began sharpening it. And he spent all night long sharpening this axe. It was around 6:30 in the morning when he decided it was just sharp enough. And he went upstairs and he went down the hall and into little Annabelle's bedroom. He took her head off with one fell swoop. And then he went further down the hall to the master bedroom where he and Lena had done all the things that married couples do. And she was laying there sleeping and he chopped her head off. And after that, he realized, wait a second, I've just killed my family. No, not the problem. It's, you know, Sally Cruitt is the problem, his mother-in-law. And she happened to live just a few doors up the street. So he went up the street to her house, used the axe to cut the phone lines, then knocked on the door, thinking this was going to be his moment of triumph. And much to his surprise, it wasn't his mother-in-law that opened the door, but his sister-in-law, Hazel Steele. And he had to think really fast on his feet. He says, "Oh my God, Hazel, I'm so sorry to bother you this early in the morning, but Lord Annabelle's really sick. Our phone's not working. Could you please let me come in and use your phone to call the doctor?" And Hazel says, "Absolutely." He comes in, he chops her head off.
Oh, jeez. Did she not notice the axe? I mean, I guess we'll never know.
It was behind his back. I don't know. Yeah. But then Sally Cruitt,
the mother-in-law in question,
the mother-in-law, the target of this attack, really, she comes down the stairs and sees what happens. And he tried to chop her head off, and maybe it's a testament to why he did what he did that morning, but a blow to the neck with a very sharp axe didn't faze that woman one bit. She said, "You know, Forrest, you're a failure, even as an axe murderer, get out of my way." And she ran to the front door and started screaming for the cops. And in complete disbelief, he went running past her, went down the street to his own house, and grabbed little Annabelle's head and body and took it into the master bedroom, laid it on top of her mother's head and body, and then he committed suicide with a pistol falling on top of them. And I think that's the
story. Is that house still standing?
The house is still standing, yeah. It's a very plain You know, a little brick double. It does. So I think that's the story that inspired the Moody Mansion axe murder legend. But, you know, if you gather
a
bunch of
friends.
Happened
at a different house on a different
street. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you get a bunch of friends, it's just a very plain, normal campus street. If you try to tell that ghost story, it doesn't have the same oomph as the dark, twisting, turning Walhalla Ravine. So, yeah.
This hour of All Sides is obviously about all things spooky and why we love this kind of scary story. It's also our fall membership drive. Support a talk show that is truly local. And for this hour only, we're offering you a special thank you gift. For $15 a month as a sustainer, you get two tickets for a WOSU public media exclusive haunted tour of Greenlawn Cemetery. The walking tour is going to explore the oldest sections of the cemetery and be full of stories like the ones we're sharing now. Join us Monday evening, October 28th. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind experience for WOSU members only. It's two tickets for $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. It's a walking tour and is going to take place, rain or shine, just ahead of Halloween, just as the sun is setting. And you're going to learn some great history and ghost stories. I'll be there. Bucky will be there. Don't miss this opportunity to spend a haunted evening with WOSU. And since you get a pair of tickets, you can invite a friend, a family member, a sibling. We allow children 12 and older to come along on the tour. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And again, it's $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 for two tickets. Plus, after the tour, we're going to have a reception at Greenlawn Abbey with refreshments and music. It's going to be a really fun and slightly scary evening. You definitely are going to want to join us. And remember, you not only get to attend this event, but you're also supporting public radio. We're listener-supported here at 89.7 NPR News, which means we aren't funded by, we're not part of an investment firm, we're not part of a big corporation. We are count on our listeners, like you, to give what you can during these membership drives. In return, we bring you news and information you can trust every day. All Sides is here for you talking about what's going on in Central Ohio. We have in-depth, thoughtful conversations, and we're able to do that because of you, because of listener support. If you've never made a gift before, if you've been listening for years, this is your sign. This is your moment. This is that tap on the shoulder to say, make a gift now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Again, we have a limited number of tickets. We can only fit so many people on the tour, so many people in the Abbey. Join us for this tour and support public radio. It's $15 a month to secure your two tickets. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. You know, that was a creepy story you told about Forrest and his family. But, you know, I don't think all ghost stories have to be scary.
No.
They're not all poltergeists in the night.
No. No, we're conditioned by radio, television, films to think of these as specifically malicious entities, and that's not really the case at all. You know, so many people have existed and then died, and many of them were perfectly lovely. So, you know, death doesn't turn them into these evil spirits that are out to get you so much.
And I wonder sometimes if what scares us, I kind of wonder if they intend to scare us with that interaction, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's that, you know, our perception, we're not expecting something that flies in the face of what we know is reality. So whenever that happens, it will unsettle you easily. Yeah. But that is probably most often not the intention, I would think.
Yeah. I've heard you tell these stories about the boathouse at Confluence Park. Mm-hmm. And they are objectively creepy stories to me, but I sometimes wonder if the ghosts intended that to be creepy. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the kids and the giggling laughter.
Yeah, so...
There are two stories, but...
Yeah, there's the Boathouse at Confluence Park, actually. Unfortunately, it's no longer open to the public. It's just an event space now, a private event space. So we don't bring people there anymore. But when we did on tours, that was the one location of multiple places that we take people that really would set the guest off. A lot of folks had their first encounters with the paranormal there and found it to be the most... disturbing, which is strange because it's the most modern of any location we take people. It was built in 1986, but the land has quite a bit of history there, and there are lots of encounters in the building that reflect that. And one of the more unsettling stories are of children. I had a Franklin County judge and her husband come on a tour years ago, and it was a walking tour downtown, and they asked if I took people to the Boathouse, and I said, yes, I do, but it doesn't have a reputation for being haunted. Why do you ask? And they said that they had a neighbor who was a Columbus police officer, and he responded to a call there one night. It was late. The alarms had gone off. And he went to do a perimeter check of the building. And the Boathouse, for those of listeners that aren't familiar with it, it has a lot of very large windows, floor to ceiling.
It's all beautiful around. If you're it inside. It is beautiful, yeah.
And he's walking around the outside of the building, and he sees a red balloon floating.
Okay, I've read it, so this is unsettling, but go on.
It is, yeah, it does have a little touch, and he could hear laughter on the other side of the mall. So they got the keys, and they did a sweep of the building, and there was no children, there was no red balloon, and he refuses to respond to calls to that location. there's another interesting story that I shared with you shortly before going on air. One morning, a manager came in to open, and he heard the sound of a ball bouncing and children's laughter coming from one of the ballrooms, and the door was closed to that ballroom. And he thought that there had been a break-in, and there were children that were just in there messing around, and he went down the hall, and he could hear, when he stopped on the other side of the door, very clearly the sound of the ball bouncing, children's laughter. And as soon as his hand hit the door handle to open the door, he heard the sound of someone saying, "Shh." And then everything went silent. He opened the door and the room was empty. Another interesting story, one of the managers several years back, it's a very large space. And as he was closing, it was just he himself and one server. He decided that it would be easier rather than going from ballroom to ballroom to ballroom to just turn all the lights off at the breaker box. And he did that. And then he heard a giggle come from the darkened dining room. And he went... stepped into the dining room and said, called out the server's name, thinking it was them, just laughing at something. And there wasn't a response, but then he heard the giggle again. And he stepped a little further into the dining room and he said the server's name again, Ray. Ray, is that you? And then all of a sudden he heard this, right behind his right ear.
Nope.
He ran out of there. And he was quite upset by that encounter.
Yeah, right behind your ear.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah.
And those are the kind of stories that, like, I don't know, you instinctively shiver when you hear them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's one that, yeah, that particular story. And actually, for a while there, I would have him, if I was taking a tour of the Boathouse and he was on working, I would have him tell his story personally shortly after it happened. And he stopped doing that because... one time after he told the story, he walked into the server station and the hose on the coffee machine that supplied water to it flew off and started spraying water all over the place. And then he had another couple of strange things happen. And he's like, no, I'm not sharing the story anymore because apparently they don't like it when I do. So,
or it just makes them more active.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's hard to say.
Riles them up. Yeah.
I want to say thank you to Michael Supp in Granville. You're going to have a great time on the tour. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and you're listening to All Sides during our membership drive. You can support the conversations we bring you every day. You only find this kind of news and information on public radio. So we're asking you to support the station you listen to at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. And this is a great time to become a member because this hour we have a spooktacular thank you gift. For $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you're going to get 2 tickets for a haunted tour of Greenlawn Cemetery. It's on a Monday evening, October 28th, and it's a walking tour of the cemetery. It's going to be at twilight, so it'll be perfect for getting you into that Halloween spirit. Our tour guides are going to share myths, legends, real hauntings, history. You don't want to miss this chance. We have a limited number of tickets, so if you want to go, make that gift of $15 a month as a sustainer and secure your tickets right now. You'll be spending a fun evening with public radio members, fans of all sides, myself included. I love all things spooky and supernatural. I was born right around Halloween, so it's in my DNA. And after the tour, there's going to be a reception in Greenlawn Abbey. We're going to have music and refreshments, and you can explore the historically spooky setting. It's $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. For your gift today, you get a wonderful, fun, slightly creepy thank you gift, but it also supports the programs that you listen to every day. Your gift to 89.7 NPR News is essential to the future of our station. You know what's going on in Columbus thanks to award-winning local coverage from the WOSU News team. You hear all kinds of thoughtful discussions on all sides. All of this is essential local news, news you can trust. And I think that's so important in this moment as we head into the election. And that news is on the radio thanks to listener contributions. So I'm asking you to do your part. Become a member. Give to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And getting 2 tickets on our special haunted tour is just an added bonus to being a member here at 89.7 NPR News. You know, Bucky, my mother loves antiques. Mm-hmm. She loves old furniture and dishware. Like, she brought me up with a love of estate sales and all things secondhand. Mm-hmm. But what's always creeped me out is this idea that ghosts can attach to objects.
Yeah.
So some attach to a place, like a house or wherever they grew up, but others can attach to a beloved memento. And in bringing home a mirror or a dresser, you can bring home a ghost. It's always unsettled me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Well, I personally had an experience. I brought a sliver of old stone from the Ohio Penitentiary Home.
Oh, geez.
A while back. It was a couple years ago. And ever since, I've just had terrible, terrible luck. So I think I need to return that to where I found it. But yeah, there is a theory, the stone tape theory, actually. It was a term that was coined by a ghost hunter, a British ghost hunter in the 1970s. And it says that, you know, really intense human emotions, they can embed themselves in objects or materials. And they release over time, and if you happen to be on the right wavelength, you'll pick up on these sort of things. So it's sort of like an echo, like walking into a room after someone's been in there with too much cologne or perfume, and it sort of lingers, you know. So the idea that certain objects can hold a memory, I don't know, though. I think it's sort of touching, kind of, in a way too.
It is. I'm always hesitant about jewelry at an estate sale for that reason. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, maybe they don't really love the chair, but like that necklace might. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or a set of earrings, something that, you know, that they associated in life with a very special moment. Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. Mirrors are always inherently creepy, potentially. I don't know why. I grew up on I remember being told the legend of Bloody Mary. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that unsettled me as a kid for a while.
Yeah, it did me as well. Then I rationalized. I was like, wait a second. You know, the version I would hear was, you know, people would say Bloody Mary and then they would all die. And I'm like, well, if they all died, then how did the story get passed along? You know, where's the logic in that? But actually, there's a rumor that the Bloody Mary legend had its roots in a house in Lancaster, Ohio.
Really?
Mudhouse Mansion, yeah, which is completely untrue. But
oh, okay.
It's a falsehood that's shared a lot of times on social media. but yeah, mirrors, you know, they do. There's a thing in the world of spiritualist, mirror scrying, where you stare into a mirror and we'll see spirits of the dead. And, you know, during the Victorian era and believe it, and like in Jewish households, whenever someone dies, you cover all the mirrors. And the idea is that mirrors act as a portal to the spirit world. And if you are mourning a dead loved one, that can draw attention from the other side, and you can get a bunch of spirits coming into your house. So cover those mirrors. You know?
Yeah, and the thing about Bloody Mary and some other, like the woman in white is a pretty iconic, like, mm-hmm. ghost, is those are the kinds of spirits that potentially, I don't know, there's this idea that they've never been human, right? I think there's different kinds of supernatural. There's the things like ghosts are people who have died, but then there's this whole other category of things that maybe have never been.
Yeah, there are lots of different categories of hauntings. There are the residual hauntings, which, like as I mentioned with the stone tape theory, the idea that it's just sort of an echo. There are crisis ghosts, which have been around throughout all human written history, across all cultures, which at the beginning of the show I talked about the Gittim and Babylon. It's the idea that someone suffered some sort of injustice as part of that, and they're returning to the spot trying to get their story told and their wrongs righted. There are poltergeists, which, you know, a lot of times
move objects.
Yes, move objects. And there's a strong correlation between poltergeist activity and usually teenagers that are going through a lot of hormonal changes and experiencing intense angst. And, you know, some scientists believe that this is just a ability that humans have that we're not aware of, that when we're really, really upset.
Oh, I've heard this idea that our minds create them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then, but then there are also the elementals, which are things that you were asking about just now. They've never inhabited a physical form, and they feed on anger and negativity and fear and that sort of thing. And yeah, there's a rather interesting case of that, I would say, at the Palace Theater in the downtown Columbus in Leveque Tower. Yeah. There was the Palace, that was the home theater for Thurston the Great, who was the last of the greatest magicians in the world. He was born and raised on Livingston Avenue in a German village, and he held this title. It was a household name. They would have the best tricks, the biggest magic shows, travel the world. And he was the last to have that title. He died in 1936, and there was radio and television and other forms of entertainment coming out, so magicians weren't that big of a deal. But that was his home theater. And in 1980, the theater underwent a huge renovation, and the owners decided that it would be best to raise the curtain after the renovations with a magic show because of its history with magicians. And the magician who raised the curtain was Harry Blackstone Jr. And he was a big magician in the United States at the time. His father, Harry Blackstone Sr., had been a rival of Thurston the Great. So he thought it would be a fun publicity stunt to have a seance in the lobby of the palace before the show and see if they could call up Thurston the Great. And they had the seance, and as it progressed, the medium's face started to droop one side of it. She started to slur words, and Thurston had a stroke shortly before he died, so they thought, you know, great, we've got him on the line. But the entity speaking through the medium began saying very un-Thurston-like things. It kept complaining about having been murdered in the theater, and there's no evidence anyone was ever murdered there. And then it began revealing very private details about the lives of the people sitting around the seance table. And this was a pretty much movers.
That's my time to leave.
Yeah. And everyone wanted the seance to end immediately. And before they could go through the proper process of closing the circle, they noticed this mass of black air forming at the top of the mezzanine stairs and began moving slowly down towards the table. And rather than go through the process of saying, you know, thank you, sweet spirits, blah, 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 they just they released each other's hands and scattered. They ran out of there. And I don't know what they unleashed in there by not properly closing the seance circle, but yeah, people have reported seeing this black cloud in there. One particular gentleman, he worked there briefly. He saw this black cloud. He didn't know if it was a speck on his contact lens or what. He stuck his hand out to see if he could touch it, and he did. And when he touched it, it burned him. And he turned his badge in right then and there and said, "I'll find another job. Thank you." And I would say that sounds like an elemental, you know, one of those things.
Yeah, so, yeah. It sounds like. I mean, look, it's got a kind of lends credence to it if you're like, he up and quit his job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did right then and there. Yeah.
This is listener supported 89.7 NPR News. and this is all sides. It's our fall membership drive, and for this hour only, we have a special Halloween-themed thank you gift. Make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, and you and a guest will join us for a haunted tour of Greenlawn Cemetery. The tour is Monday, October 28th, and what better place to get you in the Halloween spirit than a cemetery? There's two tickets for $15 a month as a sustainer right now. Don't miss this opportunity. We have a limited number of tickets. So you make a gift of $15 a month, which can be withdrawn from your checking account, charged to your credit card. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Again, the event is Monday, October 28th, and it's a walking tour. It will include ghost stories, hauntings, and history of Greenlawn Cemetery. Our guest today, Bucky Cutright, will be part of the event, plus Greenlawn's on-site historian Matt Wolf and local historian and author Doreen Uhouse-Sauer will join us too. After the tour, we'll all get together at the Greenlawn Abbey for a reception. There'll be refreshments, we get to explore the Abbey, there's going to be a DJ on site. Don't miss your chance to be on this exclusive tour. Make a gift now and get two tickets so you can bring a sibling, a friend, a spouse, a kid if they're 12 and older for $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180. Don't wait. Give it WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678 and give before this hour is over. And here's the thing. The tour is going to be fun. It's going to be creepy. We're going to hear great stories. But if you listen to All Sides every day, then you know this show is committed to producing in-depth conversations on issues important to Columbus and Central Ohio. The shows are created with you in mind. Our listeners are literally the power behind public radio. And if having a locally focused talk show is important to you, then now is your sign. This is the time to make a gift and support the station. And in return, you get to go to an exclusive event with other WOSU listeners. If you've been a member for a while, consider upgrading your membership from $10 a month to $15 and get the tickets to this haunted tour. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And, you know, one of the things I love is that it's not just all ghost stories for you. You collect a lot of history.
Mm-hmm.
And you collect strange burial stories, stories about grave robbers. And you have this one about a surveyor who was embalmed in whiskey or in alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Well, that was actually a thing people would occasionally do. this particular gentleman, he's interred in a cemetery, just a little east of Columbus, and he was an atheist, which was very out of place for rural Ohio in the 1850s.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah, but he refused to allow. He did not want any worms or anything to consume his flesh after he died. He wanted to stay preserved, so he had himself embalmed in alcohol. He was injected with alcohol, and then. And then his coffin was filled with alcohol, and they said it was more like a barroom scene than a funeral, you know. and it apparently worked because it was around the turn of the last century. His above ground crypt was compromised, and crawling inside, there was a little neighbor girl who saw that his face looked just as if he were sleeping,
although he'd
been dead over 50 years earlier. And it became a thing where all the neighbors were coming, and they were, there were lines of people to climb into his crypt and see his face. And eventually the family found out what was going on, and they had the whole thing covered in concrete and sealed. But yeah, it was he and one of his daughters. His wife refused to be buried.
Put in the drink, so to speak.
Yes, yeah, yeah. She was not. She refused to be buried beside him because of his unconventional embalming method. So she was buried in ground in a traditional manner. But then shortly after he died, one of his daughters was visiting from. She lived in another state, and she died. So the family had her embalmed using the newest techniques. It was a plastic that they injected her with, and it was actually a guy who helped embalm Abraham Lincoln that embalmed her, a guy named N.T. Shaw, Noah Shaw, who was interred in Greenlawn himself. So, yeah, and she apparently was held up quite well as also, except for her her dentures had fallen down, giving her this sort of permanent grin that was said to be very, very
unsettling.
Unsettling, yes.
I want to say thank you to Mary Colbins from Lewis Center. You know what I find fascinating about old cemeteries sometimes is the statuary, mm-hmm. which can be unsettling in their own way. Yeah. I mean, the old graves can be elaborate. I find the ones with like the photographs of the people to be a little macabre, but mm-hmm. there is in Lakeview Cemetery, the Angel of Death Victorious statue. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Doctor Who fan, and the fact that they call it a weeping angel, I was like, okay, mm-hmm. I've got to go see this thing.
Yeah, you don't want to blink around that thing.
Oh, absolutely not. I saw photos and I was like, mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually, it's quite stunning in real life. Yeah. And that particular monument, it's really fascinating that Herman Metzen, the artist who sculpted it, he intended for it to have that discoloration so it would look like the angel is weeping black tears. And it's something to behold. Standing in front of it, you really do get a chill down your spine.
Yeah. I want to say thank you to Brian Webster from Columbus. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and it's our fall membership drive. Your support pays for the programs you listen to every day. Programs like All Sides and other great NPR programs like On Point, Here and Now, and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. These programs are paid with listener support. And in return for your membership, we're offering you a great gift this hour only. You get 2 tickets to a special haunted tour of Greenlawn Cemetery. And it's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. The tour is going to take place Monday, October 8th at 6 p.m. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And you're running out of time to get your tickets this hour. They are limited. Get these tickets now before they're gone. And support All Sides in the process for $15 a month. And you're going to get a great experience. It's going to be a fun and spooky evening with ghostly sights and stories. We're going to get some history of the people buried in Greenlawn Cemetery. I don't know if anybody's, you know, buried in a bottle of alcohol, but I'm sure we'll find out. And you and a guest can join us for just $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180. Hurry and make that gift before the end of this hour. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you're a regular listener of All Sides, then we know we bring a diverse range of topics that reflect the news and interests and trends in Central Ohio and beyond. You're the power behind all of that coverage. You're the power behind Untangled, behind all of the shows that we do at All Sides. We don't answer to stockholders or commercial influences. We answer to you, our listeners. All Sides provides information you can trust. We are dedicated to in-depth, thoughtful discussions that go beyond the headlines. Support your public radio station today. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And don't miss your chance to go on this haunted tour of Greenlawn Cemetery with me and Bucky. After the tour, we're all going to hang out together. We're going to have a reception in Greenlawn Abbey with refreshments and music. We're going to get to walk around that place. And it's all exclusive to WOSU members. The only people that are going to be on this tour will be people who love public radio. We may even see a few WOSU newsroom reporters show up. They have seemed very interested in taking the tour with Bucky. Give $15 a month to secure 2 tickets to the tour. Or you can give a one-time gift of $180. You can learn more about the tour on our website and make your gift there, WOSU.org, or just pick up your phone and dial 866-897-9678. We're hoping to hear from 5 more people who are going to join us for the haunted tour before this hour ends. And I don't know if there is a weeping angel in Greenlawn, but we're going to leave that a little bit as a surprise. We don't want to, you've noticed we haven't been spoiling the Greenlawn Cemetery tour because you're going to have to go with us to find out all the stories and right. who's buried there. But at Lakeview, John D. Rockefeller's built there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. Right? Yeah, he is. And President Garfield. There's quite a few notable people a lot buried in Lakeview. Harvey Picard, there's the Elliot Ness has his ashes scattered there. So there's a lot, and just like Lakeview, Greenlawn holds a lot of notable interments, which you can find out about on the tour.
Are there any ghost stories about our state house?
Oh yeah, there are lots of stories about the state house. Many. One that I'm particularly fond of. In 1892, the governor of Ohio was William McKinley, who would later become the 25th president of the United States. And he had an executive assistant named Mr. Boswell. And in the beginning of the summer in 1892, Mr. Boswell is working late one night in the governor's office. And all of a sudden, he hears a knocking at the door. And he goes and he opens the door and checks, and there's nobody in the hallway. And then he hears the knocking again and realizes it's coming from a cabinet in the corner of the governor's office. And he goes over and inspects the cabinet, and he thinks, you know, maybe there's a rat or one of the legs has come loose and it's knocking against the wall. But none of that proves to be the case. And he noticed that as the knocking was happening, it was around midnight, they happened to be having an execution at the Ohio Penitentiary, just not far away from the state house. A guy named Jake Harvey, who had murdered his mistress in Dayton a couple years earlier and was paying the ultimate price for it. And Mr. Boswell thought this was an unusual coincidence, but, you know, he didn't believe in ghosts. He thought, whatever, he went home, forgot all about it. But then at the end of the summer in 1892, he found himself working again late in the governor's office. And I imagine it was probably quarterly reports kept in there late at the beginning and the end of the summer. And once again, it was around 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. He hears a knocking at the door, and he goes and he opens the door, and there's no one there. And then the knocking continues, and it's that cupboard again. And just like the last time, he checked the cupboard. There's no rat. The legs are secure. There's not a dash of wind in the governor's office that night, you know, that would be blowing. And he thinks, you know, well, last time I worked late, this happened. Maybe this is just what this cupboard does at a certain point in the night. So he goes back to his desk and he continues his working. And every so often there'd be a knock and he'd ignore it. But then at midnight, the cupboard erupted in what he described as a perfect shower of knocks. It's pounding, just boom, 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 boom. And he jumps up from his desk and he runs over and he throws open the doors, thinking maybe there is a rat, a sneaky rat that's messing around and running, hiding, you know. But there's nothing there. And while he's standing there trying to put this together, he realizes, okay, last time this happened, they were executing Jake Harvey. And on that particular night, they were having a double execution at the Ohio Penitentiary at that moment. A guy named Craig and a guy named McCarthy, they had tried to rob someone in Cincinnati. They botched a job, killed him, and the state of Ohio thought two birds, one rope, you know. And I used to always wonder why they would execute people at midnight back then. I thought maybe it's just to make my job easier as a storyteller all these years later. But the real reason they would wait until midnight was so the governor would have the entire day to contemplate the case and possibly give a stay of execution. And while Mr. Boswell is standing there in front of this cabinet and he's putting together, last time this happened, they were executing Jake Harvey. And tonight they're having a double execution of Craig and McCarthy. All of a sudden it dawned on him that that cabinet was where they kept the paperwork for gubernatorial stays of execution and pardons. And he went, okay, that's creepy. And he went to the Ohio State Journal the next day and said, you know, I think the state house might be haunted. I don't believe in ghosts, but I'm never working in there after hours ever again.
I want to say thank you to Addie Richmond from Columbus. We're still hoping to hear from a few more people to join us on the tour before this hour ends. And I wonder if that cabinet is still there, because so much of the state house has historical furniture and the governor's ceremonial office has a lot of historic furniture in it. I wonder if that cabinet's still there.
You know, I don't know. I'm curious.
Now, DeWine hasn't executed anyone on his watch.
No,
so
no.
The cabinet's probably
silent.
Not knocking.
Yes, it remains silent now. Yes.
Thank you to Brian Forney from Columbus. Three more to go. You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. It's our fall membership drive. Remember, listener support pays for the programs you enjoy. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. You're running out of time to get your tickets for this special event. For $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you're going to get two tickets for a WOSU exclusive haunted tour of Greenlawn Cemetery. It's Monday evening, October 28th at 6 p.m. So it's twilight, it's right close to Halloween, and we're going to walk through the oldest sections of the cemetery and hear stories about who is buried there and maybe who's still walking around. The tour will be led by Greenlawn's on-site historian, Matt Wolf, along with Bucky Cutright, who's been sharing stories of the supernatural with us today. Author and local historian Doreen Uhouse-Sauer will be there too, and we're going to go all around the cemetery, and then we're going to have a reception at Greenlawn Abbey. There'll be refreshments and music. It's going to be a hauntingly good time. Maybe you'll have your own brush with the supernatural while you're there. I mean, it is close to Halloween. That's supposed to be when the veil between our world and the ghost world thins out. So get two tickets for $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. Get your tickets right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. The hour is almost over, and you're not going to want to miss this chance. You're going to be supporting local news and this show. Your sustaining membership is so powerful. It pays for all the programs you love. If you've been a member for a while, maybe at the $10 a month level, just consider bumping that up to $15 a month. It's, you know, a cup of coffee. That increase will pay for all the election and post-election coverage that you're going to hear here in the weeks and months to come. And it will secure your tickets on this tour. You can bring a friend, you can bring a family member, you can bring a kid, 12 and older. I want to say thank you to Joan Krause in Columbus. We're still looking to hear from two more people to join us on the tour this hour. It's $15 a month and you get two tickets. And you'll be supporting a station that you listen to and depend on. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. You know, I have always had a fascination with haunted places, but I've never had the courage to go and spend the night in like a haunted hotel. Have you ever done that?
Oh, a lot. Yeah, all the time.
I'm so nervous about that idea.
Yeah, my line of work puts me in a lot of haunted locations.
I would imagine.
And actually, and when traveling, you know, that's I'm going to stay in the old haunted places, and instead of the, you know, the Sheraton or the Marriott.
That's fair.
And it's led me to some really beautiful experiences. So just being in these great old mom and pop kind of establishments. Out of all the places that I've stayed, the one that I've had an experience or the most experiences would be the Golden Lamb in Lebanon, Ohio. So that particular place, stayed in a haunted bedroom once, and it's said to be haunted by a little girl, the spirit of a little girl, who actually, strangely enough, in life lived to be quite old when she died, but she manifested as a young child in the building. And I stayed in her bedroom and was woken up in the middle of the night by a hand brushing across the bottom of my foot. Yeah. And that, that was really, really something else. And the hotel staff told me that just a couple days earlier there had been a couple who were just staying in the room, and they had gone out for dinner, and they came back into the room after dark, and there was a bright light coming from the bathroom, and the bathroom lights had been turned off when they left, and it was stronger light than a normal light bulb would emit, and they left their stuff in the room and ran down and made the staff get their things and put them in another room. So
and you know, I think Bucky's such a great storyteller. You're gonna want to join us on this haunted cemetery tour. You call 866-897-9678, or you can give at wosu.org. And for $15 a month, it's just $15 a month. If you go online now to wosu.org, you're going to get to go on this tour on October 28th through the historic parts of Greenlawn Cemetery. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. Online at wosu.org. We're a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News, global, local.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.